Welcome to the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Andy Hart and Paul Perillo here with you for another JetBlue Patriots pregame social. Back to our normal, which has become our normal, 2 p.m. Eastern time slot here in preparation of a 4:15 kickoff. Should be a very interesting game today, Andy, between the Patriots and the Eagles. But the question is, who exactly is going to play in this game? Seems to be a ton of injuries on both sides. The Patriots, for those of you who are not aware, downgraded four players to out. And those are all starters or quasi-starters. Patrick Chung, Dan Conley, Devin McCourty, and Chad Ochocinco joining Dane Fletcher and Brandon Spikes, who had already been declared out. Not much better on the other side with Philadelphia. They're without Jeremy Maclin, who Andy Reid thought on Wednesday was going to be able to play. Evidently, he suffered a setback during practice, I believe, on Wednesday, after his conference call with the local media. Michael Vick, obviously, not going to start in this game. Nnamdi Asamoah, a game-time decision. Another. What is going on at practice this year in the NFL, Andy? Seems to be a lot of injuries at practice. So high-profile players.
And DRC out.
And DRC also out is right. So there's high-profile players on both sides, probably in terms of star power, more talent out of the lineup on the Eagles side than the Patriots.
Certainly.
Quantity over quality in terms of the injury report, but it's going to be a war of attrition because I don't know who's going to be able to play in this game on either side.
Good news is we don't have to wait for the inactives. Well, unless Ryan Mallett is active. I'm assuming he is the last inactive and we know them all already. But yeah, there's still interesting questions. There's guys on the injury report. You know, you think, okay, this is a week for Taylor Price. Well, he's still on the injury report with a hamstring injury. Deion Branch was on the injury report with a hip injury. Scott Zolak on the 98.5 pregame show was talking about Julian Edelman may have a chance to have a greater role on offense today. Last week, obviously, he was defense and special teams. Maybe he gets back to his real job.
I wonder if they're
going
to move him outside at all in an effort to replace, because Ocho's really only, 10, 15 snaps a game. It's not like you're asking him to play 60 snaps outside.
I think that really limits your offense. I actually think he has a better chance of having a role if Branch is active but not really healthy and you see Edelman in some of his roles. Because I just think if you put those three wide receivers on the field, you're really limited. If it's Welker, Branch, and Edelman are your receivers, to me that's a very limited lineup of wide receivers. You don't really have anyone who can get down the field, anyone with any size. So I think that if Edelman has a greater role today, that could be in some way tied into what Deion Branch is battling with the hip injury. I tweeted it last night. I got a lot of tweets from people. Obviously, they know I'm a big Taylor Price fan. You know, Taylor Price is turning. Yeah, I've fallen for this before. When I see him on the field, lined up, active, and running routes, then I'll believe it's his time. Until then, I'm not going to fall for this too many times.
I'd also say let's watch the definition of breakout. You know, at this point, much like Ochocinco, a breakout game for Taylor Price is being an active participant in it. He has yet to be one this year, really. He's gotten less than five snaps of meaningful offensive play, and he got the ball thrown to him once. So if he's an active participant on offense, that to me would represent a breakout game for him. Whether or not he has an opportunity to do anything with it remains to be seen. So
let's be honest. More than likely, it's going to be Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Welker.
Right. Right, that's what I'm saying. So, don't have these delusions of all of a sudden Taylor Price is going to catch 12 balls for 200 yards. It's not going to happen.
And it's not like, Asamoah's a question, and I know there was some talk earlier in the week they may put him on Gronkowski in some situations. But regardless, as good as Samuel is, he's not a shutdown corner. He's not a matchup guy.
No.
He's a zone guy that drifts and picks off passes.
Correct.
So it's not like you're afraid of him taking, quote-unquote, somebody out of the game. But in all likelihood, you're going to get what you've gotten for most of the year, and that's those three. Those are your three top receivers. And they're now, let's keep in mind that they also have issues in terms of Hernandez. I'm still not sold that his knee is 100%. And Welker has had a number of injuries. I believe it's now the knee that they're listening with, but he had the rib
earlier. Yeah, it's
earlier.
The knee. 2 weeks in a row, the knee.
So
he did get upgraded a little bit.
There's plenty of injuries to go around, even on the guys that are going to be in uniform and playing.
And that's, basically, if you've caught the first 5 minutes, you can tell where we're going to go today. There's a lot of speculation, lineup speculation on both sides, matchup speculation on both sides. That's where we're going to go today. That's, I think, the key to this matchup. So there's a lot of ways, as always, that you can join our conversation here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. You can give us an email at webradio@patriots.com. Once again, webradio@patriots.com. I already have a few of those lined up. That's good to see. And, of course, you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. We have the Facebook page is up and running. We have a poll getting ready to go, as we always do. We'll go to that in a moment. Again, the injuries are a big part of this game, so I'm sure that the polls are going to indicate as such where we're looking, where, what injuries in particular we're worried about and whatnot. And we also, at the top of every show, we want to make sure we tell you about the Twitter feed. Give us a hashtag of PPGS, obviously, Patriots Pregame Social. Andy Hart loves to get the Twitter feed involved early and often, and that's the best way to do it, hashtag PPGS. And like we do at the top of every show, Andy Hart, we like to take the temperature of Patriots Nation on the Fan Tab page, the Patriots Fan Tab page. What do you got?
The good news is Patriots atop the AFC East. Average confidence rating among the fans is 85 at this point. Bad news is it has dropped 3 percentage points in the last 24 hours. My guess would be that had something to do with the injuries and the downgrades and the fact that this team is heading into this matchup a little bit banged up. And I think fans are looking at it as this was theoretically of the second half of the season the toughest game. Going on the road to Philly against a talented Philly team. It takes a little bit of a hit from the home team side based on Vince Young playing instead of Mike Vick, but they still have plenty of playmakers, and LeSean McCoy may be the best running back in football that no one's necessarily giving him credit for at this point in his career. But I think that's probably what you're seeing in a little bit drop in the confidence here. Now, I personally would probably go the other way, because as I boiled it down to on PFW in progress, I'm just not going to pick Vince Young to beat Tom Brady. And I know they don't actually play.
That's how I feel.
But the bottom line is, I watched Vince Young last week. Terrible. He played the Tim Tebow role. He played a terrible, you know, 3.5 quarters until he put a game-winning drive together and did some nice things. But if you do that against Brady, you're giving him 6, 7, 8, 9 possessions to put points on the board. You won't have that chance to make that save late in the game. You'll be out of the game. And I think the matchup with Tebow is the same thing.
Totally agree.
To me, these quarterbacks hang their defenses out to dry. And if you do that against a good quarterback like Tom Brady and a good offense, you lose. It's over. You don't have the chance.
I would be very, very concerned about this game if Vic were playing. In fact, I might go as far as to say I'd be as scared of this game if Vic were playing and healthy. Not just playing, but I was convinced that he were healthy and was able to be Michael Vick. But I don't have that same fear. Even though Vince Young is a good mobile quarterback, he can make plays with his legs, I don't have the fear that he's going to beat you with his arm, like I do with Vic if he gets hot. So that's the big difference to me in these two guys. One can beat you passing and the other can't. And I think the Patriots, they tend to beat up on those kinds of guys.
But if you want to go over to FanTab, join up, get your voice heard, and register your fan confidence rating. I actually checked some of the last couple coming through, and very positive ones of the latest Pats fans to sign up. The ones I saw were 100 from Colby Guarino. There's nobody in the league that can cover Gronkowski. Their defense has been getting better. I have a lot of confidence. Can't wait to see them face the Packers in the Super Bowl. Albert Jolie says they're getting better every week. I can only see good things coming. And I think that's accurate. They have been getting a little bit better every week, save for maybe the offense. And as I said on our TV show, if your offense is the one that's lagging behind in the improvement, I'm okay with that because I'm pretty sure they'll get the job done when they need to.
Yeah, and most people feel that way. I am a little concerned about the offense, however, but not to the point where I feel like it's going to cost them games against these kinds of teams that they'll be playing down the stretch that I don't think have the offense to keep up, even get to the 20s consistently. Like Kansas City last week, you know, they weren't going to get to the 20s in that game if it went another 8 quarters. It's just the way it was with a backup quarterback. So we have a lot of emails coming in. The Ace Ticket Hotline is open. We have, of course, Jeff is waiting online as normal. At the top of the hour, we will go out to Philadelphia to talk to Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com.
Spudzy.
Yeah, good buddy Spudzy, we like to call him. He is basically the Andy and Paul of Philadelphia.
Yes. I believe we did a crossover radio thing at one of the Super Bowls with him.
I think you did.
Probably the
Eagles
one Super Bowl.
I'm
an idiot.
It wasn't the one against Carolina. I can tell you that.
Well, he would have been free. He wasn't really busy because the Eagles were out of it at that point.
It was the Jacksonville Super Bowl that I was not at that you guys did.
And the
that
Eagles to. Lost to the Panthers in the NFC title game, right, that year?
In 2003, that's correct.
So, see, he would have given an expert opinion on how to face the Panthers.
Good.
See what I did there?
Good spin.
Cover my anus.
Good spin. So let's get back to the Facebook page. I talked about the poll, and we will have, you know, a few polls this this week and every week on the Patriots pregame social. What do you got up right now,
Kevin? And as you alluded to, Paul, most of them will have to do with the injury situation here. Our first one is, which Patriot injury concerns you the most heading into today's game? And the list is Spikes, Chung, Connolly, McCourty, or Ocho Cinco.
Chung. I'm consistent in that.
Spikes, Chung, Connolly. I can tell you which one I'm not concerned with the most. Well, least concerned with, depending on if you want to use English. Ocho Cinco.
Well, that would be. Yeah, I think Chung, as I said last week, to me that safety position is so undermanned and it's so involved in the pass defense and the run defense this week, even more so with a guy like McCoy, who not only is maybe the best running back in football, but catches the ball out of the backfield. You need safeties to come up and make tackles. I highlighted on the six pack that I think Jerod Mayo needs to match him athletically at some point. You're going to see him chasing him. He needs to make plays on him and not let McCoy make plays. That would be easier if you had a guy like Chung who likes to do that, likes to be coming forward and making plays.
Right.
Not so sure I feel great about the Sterling Moore, James Ahedibo. Has Ross Ventrone got activated yet? Is he not going to be on the roster this week? Oh, my God.
Wow.
Shocking.
He has had some games where he's been on the practice squad, you know.
No, I know, but this week, you would have assumed, with Chung still out, it seemed like they wanted another safety out there. He actually played last
week. Well, I'm wondering, and this is something that I just talked about on the
Sergio
Sports
Brown Hub. Going to have to play safety?
On the Sports Good Hub
God,
pregame
we're
show,
done.
They asked me emergency situation at center. Conley's out. Ryan Wendell will get the start. Who's the emergency center? My guess was Donald Thomas.
Sure.
Only because I know he's played pretty much everywhere during his NFL career. I'm not sure anybody else in the Patriots has center experience.
Yeah, I don't want to make a snap judgment on this.
Well,
let me think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that's might be the reason I tied that together, Andy, was you were talking about Ventrone. Ventrone obviously got his spot from Donald Thomas last week.
Yeah.
Maybe they can't afford that spot this week.
Probably would be Thomas. And if he bungled it, then it would be one of the guards, the starting guards, I would think.
Yeah, well, they suggest, you know, they wondered if Mankins would do it, you know,
or Waters. I don't.
I don't know. As far as I know, Mankins has never played center.
We know that Waters can go from left guard to right guard. Yeah, center's in the middle.
So just something to keep in mind. But you know, it's not often that you get to three deep on your center depth chart.
No, that's never.
So
a
hopefully,
good place
that's
to
not
be.
Something that we'll have to worry about. Let's take an email here.
Okay, take an email. Then I want to get to Twitter.
Okay, well,
I know you like my twisting matches on Twitter.
Andy's buddy Bill William Berry, which you know, half the time I feel like I just don't have the proper education to understand his emails
or drugs.
I don't know where to send this since I probably won't be listening live to the pregame social anyway.
Why?
Anyway, PPGS meanings arguably Paul friendly. Paul Perillo, great Sanafa.
What's a Sanafa?
I don't know that. Son of a, great son of a, gun. There you go.
Okay. I don't like it.
This is why I don't understand, like, the way he, you know, Sanafa. You know, that's what it says. Then you have to see the gun later to figure it out. Paul Perillo's gut says that an outrageous prediction, admittedly based on nothing. Based on Andy's intestinal problems on Wednesday's PFW in progress, he's, you know, giving you a hard time for all that. I don't think we really need to get into all that. By the way, it is nice to know that fans can, but see, this doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you should pre-read them.
Well, no, I did pre-read it, and that's why I'm calling him out a little bit. He doesn't make sense.
Leave him alone. He's a nice man.
Anyway, he finishes off with, someone has to explain to me that technically he doesn't deserve it either, but it's funny. I don't understand that. PPGS, Paul Perillo's gut sweat.
Quick update from the Twitter
feed. What do you got on Twitter?
Eric Scalavino, before I get into my twisting match, says that Asamoah is backpedaling. He's on the field with the Philly medical staff. Looks tentative and not near full speed so far. Obviously, he's probably working up to it, but it's pretty clear he's not going to be at full speed at his best. Whether he plays or not, it's pretty clear that's going to be something to keep an eye on during the game and whether they try to exploit that. It'll be interesting to see avoiding Asante Samuel. You know,
absolutely.
Bill talked about how much Tom has practiced against Asante, and maybe has an awareness.
Thrown literally thousands of passes.
I think it's a little different to do it in a game than a practice. But I think those are interesting matchups to keep an eye on. I also think it'll be interesting to look at the offensive line, because we've talked about them lately struggling a little bit.
They're
struggling. As much as the Patriots pass rush has improved, this offensive line has been inconsistent. Last week it was first half, three sacks, a lot of pressure. Looked like they got that cleared up a little bit in the second half. But Tamba Ali was a guy that was in there. Justin Houston got in there a little bit. And Philly has a pass rush, if they have anything, because Trent Cole can get there. Jason Babin, I think, has 10 sacks in his first year there. Cullen Jenkins, who Bill fell in love with last postseason and what he did for the Packers. That's him, right?
Yeah, he's a terrific player.
Just making sure.
Chris's brother.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
You learn stuff.
Rarely from you, but you're true. So I think that pass rush in the offensive line is something to keep an eye on because, you know, we've talked about some of the injuries. Matt Light left in a walking boot, you know, less than a week ago was in a walking boot and now could be, you know, tested a little bit on the edge there. And Sebastian Vollmer has not played all that well, in my opinion. I think he's still limited by that back in terms of his mobility.
Yeah.
So that'll be something to keep an eye on in the trenches, the pass rush and the pressure on Brady.
I'm going to get back to the emails just for a quick second because I like the one that just came in from Brett. He said he just logged onto his iPhone stream via his Pats app from Northern California. So that's great. Fred will love that we have people listening via their Pats app on their iPhones. Loved Andy's smackdown of the crap sheet last night on Twitter. I'm very happy about it now because, as you know, I am no longer under the embargo that I once was.
That's what I wanted to talk about, by the way.
He also tells us, and that's my perfect segue to get back to your Twitter
Twisting.
Stuff. But he also wants us to check out Erin Hawksworth because she is rumored to be replacing Heidi Watney, who is the sideline reporter or the the on-field reporter for the Red Sox
here locally on broadcasts
on Nesson. And Brett says that Erin has a couple of things that Indy Hart is passionate about.
Hawksworth rhymes with.
Okay, anyway,
I'm just saying,
why don't you get back to your twisting match?
Well, I happened to be skimming Twitter last night before I went to bed, just, you know, catching up on any news of the day, and Ian Rappaport, the rap sheet, or the crap sheet, as Paul calls him, here in Boston.
That's true.
Was tweeting about an appearance he had apparently done on some Sirius XM radio program, in which he talked about Julian Edelman and made the statement that he thought Edelman looked really comfortable on defense last week and that he should see more time there and that's where his future is. He basically said he hasn't caught on in 3 years as a wide receiver, so maybe it's time to give up there. I thought it was my initial reply was to the needs to play more defense. That's his natural position was WTF question mark. But I think the fact that he hasn't caught on at wide receiver is misleading because I think had to play, he's played pretty well and he's battled injuries and he's behind guys named Branch and Welker. There's no room for him to play.
It's not much different. Making that comment is not much different than saying Brian Hoyer hasn't caught on in the quarterback position
after 3 years. So maybe he should play safety because he's comfortable.
I mean, I understand it's a little bit different because more than one wide receiver can play at the same time, but he plays a specific slot receiver that the Patriots generally use one of. And he's behind the most prolific pass-catching slot receiver, arguably, in football.
So it just went back and forth a bit. And then I sent out a snarky comment today when Scott Zolak said on the pregame show that he expected Edelman to have a bigger role on offense this week. I sent out I thought Ian said that Edelman was a full-time cornerback now. And so, you know, I can't leave well enough alone.
Is that all right to use the word, the bad word for butt on the radio?
Ass?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bill Berry has a reply. He says, I'm sorry. I was actually nice to you. I'll never make that mistake again. Can you read this? Paul Perillo, asshat.
Good news is he's listening. He said he wasn't going to be
listening
live.
You said you weren't going to be listening live. But I do have a question for you. He says, I'm a freaking moron, by the way. How exactly does Paul Perillo gut sweat? How does that qualify as being nice to me?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was nicer than some of the ones we couldn't read on air last week.
Yeah. No, as usual, William Berry is borderline psychotic and in need of medication. But anyway.
So, yeah, that was just a little fight I got into on Twitter. And my friend, who I'm usually fighting with on Twitter, Mike Giardi, backed me up.
But much more a cordial
fight. Well, I like Mike.
Yeah, right. I like Mike, too.
Read into that about the other guy whenever you may. But defended me. Actually, a female reporter from Providence, who I'm probably doing a disservice because I don't know her name, she was also defending me because she read the tweet the same way I did. Got into it a little bit, but I just thought it was kind of ridiculous to say A, he's failed at wide receiver, and B, he's going to become a full-time defensive back.
That one is so off that I don't know which part of that statement I disagree with more.
Because I think he could catch 100 balls next year if Welker's gone.
If you lost Welker in free agency, I think there's a very good chance that he would be a very prolific slot receiver until he got hurt.
Right.
I know he'd get hurt because that's what he does.
Right.
But he would catch the ball and be comfortable in that role as a healthy slot receiver. Now, the other part of it, what does he play? 10 snaps on defense?
Something like that.
He got absolutely pancaked on a draw play and got somehow rewarded with a holding penalty. If that's being natural on defense, I don't, you know, this is from a guy who also claimed that Nate Solder dominated Tamba Ali today in the Sunday Herald. Tamba Ali was all over the place making plays throughout the first half of that game.
I think the words Tamba Ali and dominate were appropriate in the same sentence, just not involving a Patriot dominating
him. Get off your knees, you...
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Never
hey
mind.
Now.
All right, let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline because, like I said, early in every show we like to check in with our resident expert who has no problems patting himself on the back, Jeff in Vegas.
Guys.
Hey, guys, how are you?
I'm
tremendous.
Okay.
Swimmingly. Are you still swimming in money?
I'm doing swimmingly, although I sort of see the Jets just tie it up against the Bills, 14-14 before the half.
And you have the Bills?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I got the Bills getting 10. But on to bigger and better things. First off, really enjoyed that Tom Martinez piece on with Brady on the pregame the other day. It makes it really proud to be a Patriot fan.
Yeah, did you enjoy the Fred Kirsch piece on All Access where he told Tom Martinez to mind his own business and stop commenting on Brady's injuries?
Well,
typical
yeah,
Kirsch.
Fred has a point, actually. Then I also caught how you guys were saying that Tom was sort of pulling him up off his deathbed to get a few more tips in the most tasteful of way.
Yes.
But yeah, great feature, very emotional, just fantastic, especially with all this Sadusky stuff.
Yes. And now the other guy. Not to get off a side topic, but never good when you're accused of molesting boys and your wife says, I think he molested boys, as the assistant coach at Syracuse no longer has his wife supporting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, a tough one.
I mean, and it's even interesting. If you look at Dan Marino, his dad, worked nights, so he was always there when he got home from school. You know, Brady's dad and Tom's the youngest kid. He got the benefit of the girls. I guess his older sisters had Martinez as their coach. And, it just goes to show you the value of, the proper, role models.
And he's one of those guys that is, the great behind the scenes in all of sports. He's had a million clients that he has taken to the NFL, to major college football, elite high school football in California. He's one of those guys that, if you're not following a team where he worked with the quarterback, you'd never heard of him. But he's had a great influence on a lot of teams' offenses.
Yeah, Joe Montana, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I don't know the specific list. I just know that when you read the guys he's worked with, it's a who's who of playing quarterback.
Yeah, just, great story. And Andy really enjoyed the ripping of the rap report on Twitter. That was absolutely hysterical last night.
I try not to rip. I just try to stick with the facts. And, when he says that Edelman has failed his receiver and it's time for him to be a DB, I think that's not only not fact. I think it's ridiculous analysis.
Yeah, and speaking of tweets, what's going on with the field in Philadelphia? Why are Brady and Bill so, is it soggy? Can Eric Scalavino maybe get us go down there and feel the turf?
I don't think Eric is going to be allowed to go down there and feel the turf, but I know some major rain went through the Pennsylvania area mid to late week. And that's a field that looks bad at times. It's one of those fields
that gets a lot of use.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as Pittsburgh, but it gets a lot of use.
My guess is that's what they were checking out. And I heard Benny talking to some of the equipment managers this week about what cleats he was going to wear and going with the length. I don't know which length he decided on of his seven-piece.
It's all about length.
Well, you can go the little extra, and it makes a difference.
Was that the game Rosie Colvin, speaking of the turf, was that the last time New England was there? Was a Rosie Colvin hip injury game?
Correct.
Regular season, yes.
Because that was Super Bowl, right? Because we wouldn't play them.
Well, we played them in the preseason.
Super Bowl. Oh, okay, I gotcha.
And I believe Edelman had a touchdown in that game.
And did Eugene Wilson have a big game in that Rosie Colvin game? I think he might have had a couple picks. Because I think that was another signature win. Everyone sort of counted the Patriots out.
Well, they had gotten blown out in week one at Buffalo.
Right.
And then, Teddy Bruschi said that he had more loyalty to his high school than he did the Patriots. And they went out the next week at Philadelphia, which at the time was a very, very good team. And they blew the Eagles out. That was sort of the turning point of the season.
Paul, I consider myself analytical and having a great memory, but oh my goodness, man, you are on point, as always.
These things happen. But it kind of is what we do. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, but Fred does it, and I do it, and we can't do that.
But as soon as I said it, you nodded your head yes.
Yes,
you
know
exactly
I know,
what
but
I need
a little, caressing, pushing me in the right direction. All right, so what do you got?
Don't look for me for any caressing.
Where's the number? I saw you tweet it out, but tell it to our listeners.
Yeah, it's been really hovering around New England, -3, went up New England -3.5, back to -3. It's really stubborn that the books, for some reason, they did not want that number to go from 3.5 to 3. They wanted to keep it, New England -3, for whatever reason. The total opened at 50. It's gone up a little bit to 50.5. It's a very tricky game, as you say, with all these injuries. And you're going to need a real keen insight to be able to, you know, hit this one accurately.
So that's why you're listening to us, right?
That is correct. And that also would bring us to the Jeff Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
All right, Jeff.
What do you got?
Let's give us a pick here. We're running on over 5 minutes now. The Patriots Nation is waited with bated breath.
I hear you, man. Here it is. It's as simple as this. I'm going to make it real simple. I hate being on the opposite end of strippers, by the way. He sort of likes the Patriots. However, in my opinion, New England is just not good enough to be favored by 3 or 3.5 on the road against a dangerously athletic team, Vince Young or no Vince Young. As far as the 50.5, with that field, I have to believe it or not go under.
Now, I believe it.
Everyone's going to say both back sevens are banged up and bad. Oh, it's going to go over easily. Not so fast. Like Paul indicated this week, Vince Young might turn it over a few times. You got that soggy track, and we got these, you know, little munchkin receivers out there for us too. You know, if Brady, with that pass rush, this could be like another Green Bay Detroit Lion, you know, 0-0 game after the half.
Could be. Certainly the way the Patriots have started slow of late.
Yeah, so I hate to do it, but I got to go Eagles. I got to go the under. But all this gambling stuff is just nonsense to me. What I care about is the New England Patriots victory. Let's get one today.
That's right.
All right, Jeff. Thanks, a passionate Jeff.
He's only half right. I agree with the under.
I think the under's a good play. I think the under's a good play because I'm not sure that the Eagles can score a lot of points, and I'm not sure the Patriots are going to win one of those. 48-10 games to get it over by themselves. So, yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots in the under is the play today. But I do agree that this is not an easy game just because Vic is out. I do think that the Eagles have a chance if Vince Young can...
If he doesn't turn the ball over, I think they have a chance.
Yeah,
my guess is
he's
going to
turn
the ball
over, and that's why I'm picking,
and not just
that's why I'm picking the Patriots.
They could be fumbles as well.
Even though William Berry is, he knows how transparent I am.
Well, you're an asshat.
And he sees right through me, you know how negative I am. I just think the Patriots are better. I think they will force Vince Young into mistakes. I know that's negative.
That's funny. I'm not sure you have to force him into anything.
I'm looking for mistakes, and that's probably going to be deemed negative by William Berry, but that's okay.
He throws a lot of the Kyle Arrington interceptions where he just lobs it over a receiver, and the guy who's 5 yards behind the receiver can catch it.
Before we go to break, our first break today, I do want to throw this out there, Andy. I've been looking at the Twitter feed as you were talking to Jeff a little bit.
Whoa. Are you stepping on my toes?
Not a
again?
PPGS Twitter feed, but something that does indirectly affect the Patriots. Matt Leinart, who was in the midst of a decent first half in his first game, is out. He was sacked, landed on his left shoulder, taken to the locker room. T.J. Yates is now at the helm for the Houston Texans.
Who's T.J. Yates? Texas A&M?
North Carolina. Their third stringer. And I know they have Kellen Clements.
I don't think they're going to be number one in the Wilson Hart power rankings at
no,
the end
I
of
think
this
they'll
week.
Probably go up. But anyway, Kellen Clements was signed during the week. I'm not sure what where he is in terms of his knowledge of the system. But T.J. Yates, now at quarterback for your Houston Texans.
He did, however, lead them down the field in his first
drive. Yates did?
Yeah, in the two-minute drill and got him a field goal, so he looked pretty good.
They are playing the Jags, a bad football
team.
No,
agreed, but it wasn't like he just came in and they handed the ball.
And they got Andre Johnson back. They have Arian Foster. They have talent around him to
manage a
game.
They have a 20-10 halftime lead. So
if he can manage the game, he has the talent to work with. They're a good football team.
The Texans are proving worthy of the number one spot in the Wilson
Hart
Power Index.
Yeah, they are, because they're a great all-around team.
Of course, if they played the Green Bay Packers, they'd lose by about three touchdowns.
With Schaub or without Schaub?
With Schaub.
With Schaub, they'd be competitive. You would have a shootout. Packers might win, but you'd end up in a 30-30 ball game in the fourth quarter.
No way.
Yep.
No way. But anyway, Let's save that. Let's save that Andy Hart and Paul Perillo bickering for after the break.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new bakery-fresh chicken and tuna salad sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y,
right? Right. Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the JetBlue Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Paul and Andy from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
I was remiss early in the show, Andy Hart, in talking about all the ways that you can contribute and participate in the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. I forgot to mention, as I do every week,
that people can send us a bacon bomb.
Send some photos. Send some photos. We'll get them up on the Facebook page. Let us know how you're watching the game. If you get together with a bunch of friends, another road game this week in Philly.
Anybody at the link?
Anybody there listening on their iPhones, as Brett was earlier in the show? So I forgot to mention that. I want to encourage that kind of participation as well.
Pictures of food, as we learned last week, we always enjoy.
And we may have even wormed our way into getting a taste of that bacon bomb.
I'd like to.
There's a possibility that could happen down the road at the next home game.
I might miss the game afterwards, but...
Oh, I'm pretty sure you will miss the game afterwards.
All that grease and cholesterol lubing up my system. Straight through.
I want to get back quickly to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where Tim... in Pensacola, Florida, is on the line. Tim, how are you?
Did someone pass gas?
No.
That was just a... That was a drop.
Well,
get it? Drop.
Hey, Tim, so the good news is
You
pretty much know all the inactives already because, you know, all the injuries, they were downgraded. Now, the one thing I think could set you over the edge is if we get a late announcement that Ryan Mallett is actually active today and Taylor Price were the last inactive. That would send you over the edge, wouldn't it?
Yes, indeed it would, but,
I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm gonna need you guys to talk me off the ledge in a second, but I wasn't able to call in the PFW this week and, with Thanksgiving holidays. First, I have a quick question. How was Fred's Thanksgiving?
It was tremendous. He had that fancy turkey and, everything was done for him, so he was happy. Although he would have been happier to just cancel the holiday. He hates family.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's great. Someone said a comment on PFW to the effect that, when some of us call, we say, well, we got a real quick comment. I think that's kind of directed towards me because I always say that. So I understand your criticism. I went back and you're right. So I'm going to refrain myself from saying that.
You're still going to bring the long comments. You're just not going to pretend they won't
be long. I'm just not going to say that. I'm just going to make long comments.
I like it.
That one guy who always calls in with the gambling stuff, a lot of people took shots at him at PFW.
Yep.
I actually kind of enjoy it. But I will agree with them that we don't care what kind of televisions the casinos have. We don't care who he knows at the casinos. Just tell us who you're going to pick, maybe why. I don't care if you go on for 5 minutes. Just don't go on about TVs in the casino for 5 minutes.
I hear you, bro.
That's really aggravating. But, okay, here's where I need you guys to cut me off the ledge a little bit. This is the last losable game in our schedule, and I'm a little worried because the last time we faced an offense kind of like this was against the Steelers, and Belichick takes away what you do best. So for that game, he kind of took away the deep pass, but given our personnel, when he did that, he left pretty much everything else on the field open.
But, stop. Just pump the brakes. Ben Roethlisberger is a very good quarterback. Vince Young is not. Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 50 times and completed 70-something percent of them. Your boy, Vince Young, cannot complete 70% of passes against air. That's your, big play by James Sanders.
Would you think I was playing
that
for you?
Yeah, but here's what you're not accounting. McCoy. So we have everybody to prevent the deep ball from DeSean Jackson beating us. McCoy's just going to tear us apart.
Well, first of all, DeSean Jackson has not had a great year. And second of all, yes, I am afraid of LeSean McCoy. I think that's the way they can win.
Yeah, that's
if
the one thing they're
going to
take away is LeSean McCoy.
And allow LeSean McCoy to run the ball 180 yards, you could lose. I don't think that's going to happen. I still think even with the injuries, even without Spikes and these guys up front, I still think they'll do a decent enough job with Will Fork and company up front slowing him down.
Well, then this is the last thing, and I just want to get your quick thoughts on it, because once again, I have a paper to work on it. I'm not going to work on it during the game, so I better work on it before it.
Where do you go to school, Florida State?
UWF.
Oh, okay. Go.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I love the pass.
Is that Western Florida?
Huh?
Did you say UWF? Is that Western Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
It's on a panhandle.
Oh, okay. I never heard of that school.
Oh, it's got a beautiful campus, yeah.
Well, it's in Florida, so I bet it smells funny.
Pretty much, but you get used to it. Do we see more Dedrick on the line? Because I know we generally like pass rush, and I like that too, but given Vince Young's talents to run and the ability of LeSean McCoy, should we, like, load up the box just in case and say, okay, Vince, beat us over the middle if you can?
I think there's a chance you could see a little less Mark Anderson today because of McCoy, not really because of Vince, because they do want to be able to stop the run up front with relative ease, or at least be as competitive as possible. So I think you could see Dedrick, as we saw a couple weeks ago, at end with Will Fork and Love inside.
Well, okay, thanks, guys, and I'll catch you on PFW.
All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Go UWF.
A couple of quick things.
From a lot of Florida. South, Central, Western. Is there an Eastern? Is there a Northern?
Well,
there's Florida.
Yeah, there's colleges, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a Northern Florida, yeah.
Is there an Eastern?
I don't know if there's an Eastern. I didn't know there was a Western, though, so. Who knows? From inside the control booth, Kevin tells me that Asamoah will start.
Okay.
According to CBS, I guess, because he said it as they were showing a shot of him getting run through the paces. And just looking at the Twitter feed, Andy, sorry for playing your side of the street here.
I'm used to it by now.
PFW Eric says that with only one more inactive to declare, it's noteworthy that third-string quarterback Ryan Mallett got a lot of warm-up.
I was going to read that when Timmy was on the air, but I thought it might push him over the edge. He's got a paper to write. I don't want him offing himself.
So we've been sort of, joking around about it in a mocking tone.
It won't be funny.
It won't be funny.
Be with Timmy. I mean, I don't care if Mallett's active, but if it's at the cost of Price, I will not be happy.
It could
be at the cost of Branch. I mean, there's other guys that are banged up that could be inactive, right?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be for a healthy guy. Let's put it that way.
Well, assuming Price is healthy.
Yeah, I am assuming his.
Well, he's got a hammy.
He said his leg is fine.
Yeah, he's got a hammy.
He said his leg is fine. Let's get back to
Ocho might think his leg is fine.
Well, that's a whole story for another day.
And Warren Sapp went after him a little bit on Twitter last night. Speaking of twisting matches,
did he?
Yeah. Basically wondering how he got hurt while he's taking the year off.
Oh jeez.
Forgot the exact phrasing, and Ocho replied with one of those. You know how he likes to call people grasshopper on Twitter?
Grasshopper.
He says like grasshopper duh, something. And they went back and forth for a while. It was kind of funny. I like Warren Sapp. He's got a little Andy in him.
There's nothing little about Warren Sapp. Gene in Daytona.
Mean Gene.
Speaking of Florida, we'll stick to Daytona Beach.
The smelly state.
Long one here. He hears Dan Conley will be out for this game. Nothing gets by him. And backup center Ryan Wendell will be starting. My concern is who will back up Ryan now. Could Brian Waters be a backup center? He also played there in 2000 for the Berlin Thunder. We also have on the practice squad.
That's actually good knowledge. I didn't know that.
Nick McDonald, who was listed as a guard center while in Green Bay. So I think that they would have made that move already.
Yeah, I don't
had
think
that been
happen.
A possibility.
But I told you Waters was versatile.
Waters? Okay. There's some professional experience at center. We were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show, Gene. So thanks for that update, because that was something that we did not know. Two, will we see Taylor Price or Tyquan Underwood at wide receiver today? Or could they get by with one with just the two tight end set of Solder and Gronk with Hernandez in the slot and Wes out at wide receiver? No, Wes will not be out wide. Wes will be in the slot.
But they could get by with the guys they
could
have.
Get by with that lineup, just not in the places that you're putting them.
Because, Ocho doesn't really play.
Correct.
We're not really replacing anything.
If we do not establish an outside deep threat, will we not go anywhere in the playoffs? Oh, we will not. There's not a question. We will not go anywhere in the playoffs.
It's a possibility. That was the theory why they brought Ocho in.
Three, Taylor and Tyquan might get on the field, but unless Tom looks their way, their opportunities will be wasted. Tom has to spread the ball around to other playmakers, even if they are incomplete passes. He needs to draw the attention away from Wes, Gronk, and Aaron and share the hits on our receivers.
Whew,
we need to save these guys.
Mallet.
We need to save these guys too many hits. We will need all three healthy for our playoff run. I agree with that. However, there's no real way to ensure that because you have to throw the ball to them. You can't say, we're not going to throw the ball because we're going to try to keep them healthy. But I agree, you need all those guys healthy. And by the way, Andy, on the subject of pumpkin pie, no born New Englander worth his salt would eat lemon meringue pie on Thanksgiving. I think it's some kind of New England sacrilege or something to eat another pie. I would say to you if you get served pumpkin pie with that little scoop of whipped cream on top. Keep open your mouth, stuff it in, even if it does give you gas.
Oh, I eat the pie. I've eaten a pumpkin pie all my life. It's just not that good. If you had good lemon meringue pie, you'd be a moron to eat pumpkin.
Paul, are you sure Andy wasn't from Florida? Yeah, that's it. He's from Florida. I knew. I saw something familiar between Andy these knuckleheads down here. The people here think that the Mayflower has some kind of moving company and that the Pilgrims really served up key lime pie to the Indians. Patriots 31, Eagles 17. Taylor Price, 2 touchdowns, 200 yards.
It's typical idiocy. Tradition. We're going to keep eating something that tastes like poo because it's tradition. Let me tell you something. If they could have eaten better food.
Let me tell you, brother.
They would have eaten better food. They ate what they had, and they had pumpkins, so they made it into a pie. Had they had lemons, they would have made lemon meringue pie.
And we were happy for what we had.
Do you not watch your TV because the Pilgrims didn't have a TV on Thanksgiving? You idiot.
Sticking with
Sorry,
the emails.
Sorry, I like you, Gene.
I'm not sure. This may be the first email ever from a very good friend of the show and a one-time participant in the show. Eric.
Oh, one of my best friends.
Absolutely. Eric Friends, making, I think, his debut here as a participant in the program.
He participates via PPGS on Twitter.
I noticed that, which is excellent.
Stop looking at the Twitters.
Well, I noticed he pumps up the show before it happens.
Oh, that's true. That's fine.
Which I like.
Somebody's got to.
Well, you do it.
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway, Eric Friends. Love the show as usual. I understand the concern over Philly's playmakers on offense, but the Eagles had the second most turnovers in the NFL. Vince Young threw 3 interceptions last week. The Patriots ranked 2nd in the NFL with 15 interceptions. If the Patriots could just keep VY in the pocket and force him to beat them with his arm, they'll be fine. I totally agree. He'll make those mistakes eventually, and like Andy said, the dude is no Roethlisberger, and there's no chance he's completing 70%+ of his passes. Thanks again for the Pats pregame commentary and entertainment. You guys make it even easier to put the terrible CBS announcer teams on mute.
Just a quick note from afar. We were talking about the injury to Matt Leinart and Yates going in. In case you were wondering, sort of like in the Dan Conley situation, Owen Daniels is their next quarterback in line today.
Owen Daniels
will be next in if they have to.
You know what they can run then, Andy? The triple option that you like so much.
Tremendous. Why, he can run that?
You don't think he's going to drop back and throw? He's a tight end.
I assumed he would just hand it off to Arian Foster 42 times.
That is what they would do, would be my guess. And Foster,
in case you missed it,
Foster
though,
having a big first half.
Ryan Mallett is the final inactive, so those of you that were fearing maybe Price would sneak in there or one of these other guys, Ryan Mallett inactive despite the expert commentary and analysis from Eric Scalavino. So Taylor Price will be well on his way to the 45 catches and 6 touchdowns I predicted today.
And the 200 yards that...
How many games left?
Who just predicted 200 yards? Gene.
Mean Gene?
Yes.
Today is game number 11?
Correct.
So 6 games, he'd have to average 9 catches a game and 1 touchdown a game.
That's doable. I think he can do it.
It's doable. Welker does it. Gronk does it.
Hey, who is this? Mario from San Benito.
Oh, boy.
He wants
now
to
Jimmy
know.
Sanders whiffed on Toby Gerhardt.
Mario from San Benito wants to know if the Patriots have ever played against Michael Vick, like ever. Andy?
I don't know.
You really going to do it to me?
Let me think for a minute. Okay. Let me think for a minute. Michael Vick, when he was in Atlanta, he didn't play and Bill got mad.
Yes.
But didn't they play him in the Chandler game earlier where a fight broke out between the Chandler family and the Vick family in the stands?
Oh, I forgot about that part. Not surprising. You remember the stuff that happened off the field.
Yeah, the year before that, or whatever, the time
no,
before
No, there
that.
Was a game in 01
yeah.
in Atlanta where the Patriots won. I'll even say they won the game 24-10. And Vick came in relief of Chandler and had a long run in that game.
Right.
About a 50-yard run, but otherwise was really held under wraps and got hit so hard that Lawyer Malloy claimed when they, I think McGinnis hit him, and Malloy claimed that he squealed.
Oh.
So they did a very good job of keeping him under wraps that day with the exception, as I mentioned, of one play that I remember that he broke free for about a 50-yard run. But otherwise, the Patriots' defense kept him under wraps. I think Belichick's defenses in general, and Parcells was the same way, they had very good success against running quarterbacks, keeping them in the pocket by not allowing their edge rushers to go inside too much, get upfield and then create a wall and not let them get outside containment. And I think that's been a good formula for them, and it will be against a guy like Vince Young.
James Sanders involved in a lot of piles. Oh, another takedown of Gerhardt. James Sanders might have 25 tackles
today. Are we just going to go with the Falcons update from here on in?
Well, we don't have any safeties on our team, so let's talk about safeties on other teams that used to be on our team.
Gerhardt is running hard, though. I will say that.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
He can't run fast, so you got to run hard.
Okay. Anything else to add to that?
I stunned him with my analysis.
Johnny in L.A.
If you can't run fast, you better run hard. Because otherwise you're dead.
Oh, okay. Johnny in L.A. with some more listener on listener crime. He says he just had to mute us because he'll turn the volume back up when we're off with that piece of crap, Jeff from Vegas.
That doesn't say crap.
I know, but I can't say that word.
Okay, we're off, so listen to us again.
So come back. Come back, Johnny in L.A.
See, this is how fights break out in real tailgates in the parking lot. You got to be a little more understanding of other fans.
And if anybody would know...
It's me.
...understanding, it's Andy Hart, who can't let someone write a stupid comment on Twitter without responding to it.
But that's professional.
Oh, that's very professional.
No.
WTF, the height of professionalism.
Is it not Ian Rappaport's job to provide expert analysis and opinion?
But it's not your job to point out that he's bad at his job.
Fred Kirsch tells me it is.
Oh, okay.
He does. He wants us to rip other media members who make dumb comments.
Does?
Yes.
When did he say that?
He wanted to make an entire segment of our TV show. He thinks it's our job because fans don't know enough to call a guy out, to question it. They think those people should know what they're talking about.
I want to know why I missed the meeting when it was supposedly
he tells us this.
Of our job to rip the media.
He wants us to do it on the blog. On PFW blog.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's a wise
I don't with people I like, but with people I don't like, I have no problem with it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking about that, but how about the Facebook page, Kevin? You're giving me that that look. Do we have any information on that poll that you introduced, about, I don't know, 20 minutes ago?
We do. It seems to be that Patrick Chung is leading the way here with 42% of the votes.
Woohoo!
The,
next
closest would be Devin McCourty with 26. So people clearly worried about the secondary.
Yeah, I think that's the main area of concern. That's the one that's banged up the most. Surprising that center isn't any concern, because I'm a little concerned about that. I think the offensive line has been a little bit shaky at times
in
the last month.
Yeah, they've been shaky at times because of Connolly, and Bill decided to put Wendell in.
So obviously, if they thought this guy was better, they would have made a move.
But they've been going in that direction of late. He's been banged up at times. I think that's prevented some of it. And I think some of it is just fear of, even though Connolly has struggled a little bit, the overall play and communication have been okay, and you don't want to make that change. He's the more experienced guy in there.
Right.
But I'm not sure they think there's a huge drop-off in talent between Connolly and Wendell. I think they believe those guys are very competitive in there. That's why I'm not really all that worried about it. Plus, I think the center spot was your weakness between two strengths at guard. So today, I think the center spot's still your weakness between two strengths at guard.
Yeah, I just think there's a possibility it could be a bigger weakness.
Yeah.
And it's already been a concern to me.
Yeah.
Kevin, why don't we get a new poll up and ready, and maybe we can introduce that before we get to the next break. We're also going to be talking to Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. At the top of the hour. Let's get back to the emails, though, before we do that.
Okay, I got to read a tweet because I don't know what it
even,
means.
Even better. Go to the tweets.
This is Patriots pregame social and a brand new cherry at our party. What would at Jumbo Heart make of that, LOL? Is that a cherry or a sherry? Is a sherry a wine? Is it spelled the same way?
Oh, sherry? Yeah.
C-H-E-R-R-Y?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think that's the same way. No, that's C-H-E-R-I, isn't it?
I don't know.
We'll give William Berry another chance to make fun of us. Or, sorry, make fun of me.
I think he likes me.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Huey has
There's no accounting for taste.
Little surprise, Eric says, but it's a now official. Vince Young will start at quarterback for Philly in place of Michael Vick.
That's the kind of information you can only get from Eric Scalavino 2 days after it was officially announced.
I'm just saying. Those are our eyes in the press box at the link, which is a nice building, by the way.
And hopping on that bandwagon, too, we do have a new poll up.
Like okay, what do you got? Read
it's,
it.
Which Eagles injury helps the Patriots the most? So it's Michael Vick, Nnamdi Asamoah, who is likely going to start, according to CBS.
But that may actually help the Patriots if he's limited.
That's true, if he's gimpy. Jeremy Maclin or Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie?
Easy.
So there are
the
your four choices.
Mike Vick.
I think it's easy, too.
Even though Mike Vick is no Tom Brady, Vince Young is no Mike Vick. He's a more dynamic athlete running the football. He has a stronger arm. I don't know if you guys saw last week. I forgot who it was, but he had somebody wide open deep down the middle of the field and underthrew, and it turned to an interception. Mike Vick probably makes that play. So I just think you have a huge advantage at the quarterback position today. You would have had one anyway, but it would have been closer had Vick played.
Evidently, Sherry, the wine, is Sherry.
Yeah, see? Told according you it was to Erry.
According to I Eat In There. On the
in where
Twitter feed.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I don't know. What are you up to now?
Yeah,
what the hell are you guys up to now?
All right, Kevin, we're going to get Spudsy up a little bit, so why don't we take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will go to Philadelphia, find out how all these injuries are going to affect the Eagles.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Ooh, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots pregame social from the Patriots Facebook page.
Just looking at the Twitter feed, Andy, during the break.
It's kind of my job. Maybe that's why you weren't ready to host the show. That's your job. See, we have different jobs, Paul. So, you know how Bill likes to say, your job.
And when are you going to start doing
yours? Yours is to host
yours?
This show.
And when are you going to start doing yours?
I'm interacting with fans on Twitter. Promoting the idea that Brian Waters might play center in a pinch.
And that's exactly what I was talking about when I was looking at your Twitter feed, and I was calling you a fraud because you completely stole that from our listener who brought that to our attention.
Borrowed and passed it on. I re-gifted it.
You did. You did. In the time of the holiday season, what better way to share someone else's thoughts? Regifting. So the Jets Blue Patriots, the Jet Blue Patriots.
I think that's the first one of the day where you called it the Jets Blue.
Is
they're actually winning.
Has reached the halfway point. Emails are pouring in at webradio@patriots.com. We have a few from Europe again.
Scandinavia.
Yes.
We're scandalous.
We have one online from Denmark, one in Sweden. Matter of fact, a 13-year-old girl who loves us in Sweden says it's raining here too, but she loves the web radio. She has it on like all the time.
She says you remind her of her grandfather.
I really love you guys. I am really a big fan of the Patriots. She's always happy when they win, and I buy all my friends what they want because I'm happy that they won.
Have you ever bought us lunch?
Probably not, Andy. She's
what does
13.
She use, the Euro? Do they use the Euro in Sweden?
Yeah, I would assume. Kevin tells me that there's a new poll up. Why don't you read that again?
It's which Eagles injury is going to help the Patriots out the most today. It's Vic, Asamoah, Rodgers, Cromartie, or Jeremy Maclin.
Okay, we didn't get a chance to talk about that before we went to the break. I mean, it's got to be Vic, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's got to be Vic.
There's no other answer, in my opinion. Very simple, simple question. He's a $100 million quarterback, the face of the team. Makes McCoy that much better.
Even though he's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns in his last 16 games?
Well, yeah, but had you allowed Vince Young to play 16 games, you'd say
pretty
the same thing.
Sure he'd throw more interceptions than touchdowns.
Regardless of what you think of Vic, the bottom line is he's better than Young. And Young hasn't played. So even if Young were
correct.
Competitive, you're going off a one-game stretch for him. So to me, that's an easy one. A little talk on Twitter about how the fact that Michael Vick's been the story the last few times Patriots and Eagles have gotten together. You remember they signed him back the last time we were in Philly, and it kind of spread through the press box.
It was one of the more surreal nights that I can remember, especially during the preseason, mm-hmm. when you're just kind of sitting there thinking, oh, ho-hum, this is another one of these boring summer games. And all of a sudden, if you remember, the internet went down in the press box yep. that night. No one could get their connectivity going, and
connectivity.
It was tough. It was tough. But
and now he steals it again by just flat out, you know, not playing, being hurt.
Yeah, and you brought up the game against Atlanta. I want to say, oh God, I can't
game.
Remember. Yeah, was it 06 maybe
ish?
I forget exactly when it was, but maybe sometime in that general area. And Matt Schaub just lit him up, threw for 300 yards. They ended up losing 31-28. It was a high-scoring game, but Schaub played very well, and Bill Belichick was not happy. And the reason for that, Andy, was?
Because Michael Vick didn't play.
But why?
Because he wasn't on the injury report, and then they
well,
sat
he
him
was,
out.
Well, he was listed right. as questionable.
But he was not going to play. They knew it. They didn't have to announce it. It actually was part of the changes in the rules about
right.
downgrading guys and traveling guys that they went through. There was, I believe it was that same season, Bill was involved with the Seymour thing in Denver, correct?
Yeah, maybe it might have been 05.
But
I think you might be right.
These are some of the major factors that actually led to some changes in the injury reporting process. But he was, yeah, he was not happy.
Yeah, he was listed as questionable, or maybe even probable.
And oh, by the way, Matt Schaub threw for three Bills.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And earned himself a lot of money and a job in Houston, essentially.
And a spot atop the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
With the rest of his team, which is remaining competitive without a quarterback at all, shows you how good they are as a team.
Against the team that you described as what?
Jags. Okay. I think that's accurate.
So,
is that not their team name, Paul?
Yeah, but that's also describes their play.
Okay, what do you got?
Which
Go.
Is the key part. I don't have a lot. We're efforting to contact Dave Spadaro, but evidently we're having a hard time doing that.
Are we getting blown off by Spudsy?
So I had hoped to have that that segment of the show. Because
so we're getting blown off by essentially our counterparts at the same level.
And they should want to help us.
I would think.
They should want to help a brother out. Keenan is the other European email that I talked
about. I thought he was
about.
The other Wayans.
He's in Denmark. And he was just wondering about Tyquan Underwood. Is he still on the squad?
He is.
Why don't Belichick give him a chance?
If he gets a chance over Taylor Price, I am going to be pissed. I know he has great hair and all, and I know he caught a couple balls in the preseason finale, and everybody fell in love with him when he rolled into town a couple days earlier. But he also dropped a number of balls in the preseason finale. And if he gets playing time at the cost of Taylor Price, you may need me need a bleep button to talk to me post-game.
Okay, and Kevin has reached Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com, so we'll go right to Dave now at the link. Dave, how are you? It's Paul Perillo and Andy Hart.
Hey, doing great, thanks. How are you guys doing today?
Appreciate you taking some time. How are all these injuries? Obviously, that's the biggest storyline. Both teams without a number of key players. How are all these injuries going to affect Philadelphia today?
Well, you know, from an Eagles standpoint, they've been through it without Michael Vick last week, without Jeremy Maclin last week, and so those are your key players out here. And you know, the good news is that Nnamdi Asamoah went through all the warm-ups prior to the game, and he's going to play. And so we'll see how long he can go, but I think that's obviously a positive when you're dealing with what the Patriots do offensively. You know, and from New England standpoint, Bill Belichick has been through this before, and he knows how to scheme it. So that's what their challenge is going to be, scheming to make up for the lack of personnel.
Talking about Asamoah, obviously he is probably going to be limited in some way, and a lot of the talk this week was maybe using him against Rob Gronkowski. Do you see them at times matching him up with Gronkowski?
Yeah, I think, you know, they like to move him around, and he's a big cornerback, and when Gronkowski lines up, you know, close to the formation, I think you'll see 24 around him, but I think that he's that kind of player where you have to bracket cover him and make sure you have somebody over the top. They just use him so well, and they're so creative with the way they move around. So you will see Nnamdi in a lot of different places, primarily on the right side of the defense.
Dave, when we watched, you know, started doing some preparation for this game, that the talent that Philadelphia has is just so apparent. I mean, you've been there for, you know, since day one in training camp. Why are they 4-6? What is missing from this talented football team?
Well, early in the year, really. I mean, even last week they won the game. But I'll tell you, the one theme here is offensively they are just so sloppy with the football, and particularly in the red zone. You know, if they're out of the gates the first five games of the year, and they're averaging three turnovers a game, and then they've gone into fourth quarters and they've had leads, and until last week they were unable to hold those leads, six losses after holding fourth quarter leads. You combine the two, and so the turnovers, that's very tangible. You say, well, somehow you've got to eliminate giving the football away. And then on the other hand, it's, to me, a lack of identity, a lack of leadership, a team that so many new pieces here, they never had time to really get to know each other. They never had time to assert any leadership in the locker room. So if last week was the launching point, that's wonderful, but the problem is you're already in a deep hole in the NFC, and you've got to be virtually perfect the rest of the way to reach the playoffs. Today, that's why I say it's such a critical game, not only from the win-loss standpoint, but they've got a very good team coming in, a team that's got veteran leadership, a team that knows how to win fourth-quarter games. A win today, and the Eagles, you know, theoretically could really be on their way. A game in Seattle on Thursday night, and then 10 days off, and then it's Miami, and then you're in the stretch run, and who knows. But it really has been a team that has lacked that leadership, that identity, and that understanding of what it takes to win in the fourth quarter.
Dave, you mentioned having to get to know each other and leadership on defense. That involved also getting to know a new coordinator. They decided to make their offensive line coach a defensive coordinator, and then they decided to go with this wide nine defense. Just give me a crash course in what that is and whether you think that is advantageous for them, whether that's been a good decision to go with that scheme up front, or whether that's been part of the problem.
Well, I think it's really not that radical of a concept. It's the strong side defensive end, generally your left defensive end, who has been Jason Babin, lines up 3 yards wider than he normally would in a nine technique rather than a six technique or the five technique. So it's really not a crazy concept, but the pieces, the fit of the defense, that's been the challenge. You know, Juan is new to the job. He changed pretty radically the defense from last year, and then there's a bunch of new pieces here. And so they've gotten a pass rush, and the front four has been good against in that respect, and they've gotten to the quarterback. But then teams very wisely take 3-step drops, 5-step drops, get rid of the football very quickly, don't give the pass rush a chance to crank it up, and then all of a sudden you're playing zone defense behind it, and it just hasn't been a cohesive scheme. Everybody hasn't been on the same page. Players too often looking around. That's why I think today is so dangerous, because Wes Welker is so good against the zone. Tom Brady is going to pick out every little hole there is in coverage, and the Eagles are going to have a tough time unless they can find a way to get Brady off his spot and really try to lock up those receivers at the line of scrimmage. I expect them to play quite a bit of press coverage today.
Does Vince Young throw the ball well enough to match Brady if that's the case?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Does Vince Young, is he able to throw the ball well enough, in your opinion, can be consistent enough to match Brady if that's the case?
It's a great question. You know, Vince has won a lot of games in the NFL, but he's never really put up big numbers. I think that the design of this offense is very solid. New England comes in here with a lot of concerns in their secondary. They haven't gotten a great pass rush this year. I mean, the Eagles still potentially have a very, very good offense, and if the offensive line... Two things. If the offensive line does its job, and then if Vince recognizes the wrinkles that Bill Belichick will bring to the table, yeah, you got a shot to score some points. So I'm expecting a lot of points scored today.
Quick prediction before we let you go?
Well, obviously, I think the Eagles are going to win the game. I mean, this is a team that needs to win. It's the one really bizarre part of this last, you know, full season dating back to last year is that the Eagles are 1-7 in their last 8 home games. And that's a huge concern. Why can this team not win at home? I think today they turn it around and beat the Patriots 31-28.
All right, Dave, I know you have a lot to do, and I appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
That's Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com, who really kind of button-hooked me there.
I told you he was the Fred Kirsch of the Eagles. Well, obviously I'm going the Eagles.
He's
the Fred Kirsch.
He button-hooked me there because everything he said sort of led me to believe that he felt like the Eagles were in a lot of trouble.
He's the Fred Kirsch.
I will also say, in doing what I like to do most and making fun of myself, 1-7 in the last 8 home games. Probably a factoid that I might have wanted to include in my preview.
Yeah, you might want to. Maybe you wouldn't put me to sleep in those anymore.
Well, maybe if you stayed awake long enough, you'd say, hey, aren't the Eagles 1-7 in the last 8 home games?
Whose job is it? Your job to do the research or mine?
I think it's our job to put out the best product that we can.
And I do my end.
Really?
The six-pack, phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal.
You do the best you can?
Sad, isn't
you
it?
You do the best you can?
Sad, I know.
I know you came out of an academic conference despite not being able to spell academic, but... What?
You could compare me to Chad Ochocinco. He's doing the best he can, too.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. That, you know, based on what Dave was talking about with Brady being able to pick apart those zone defenses and Welker finds the spot so well. And
I was confused, too, in his description of the wide nine. He said you line up in a nine instead of a normal five. Don't you normally line up in a seven on the strong side? You line up on the tight end.
Yeah, well, listen, don't throw all the numbers. I'm not Fred Smurlus.
Well, he told me it wasn't complicated, and then he didn't give me what I felt like was a very good answer.
Well, the part that is sort of...
stupid is the fact that they took their offensive line coach and made him their defensive coordinator.
Yes, but the part that doesn't match up with their talent is they have these young linebackers that they want to help. They want to find a way to get pressure, and they want to do all these different things. Yet, when you get in this wide nine, the defensive ends are asked to just get up the field. Run be damned, right? So now you have these young linebackers who are basically responsible for stopping the run by themselves, and oh, by the way, they can't blitz at all and do anything to get after the passer. So you have to realize it just doesn't seem to be a good match. If you had guys like
and
Ray
you
Lewis
signed a guy
and
who
Patrick
plays
Willis
man
playing
corner,
linebacker,
and you decided to go zone.
All zones.
So it's almost like you took a guy who didn't know anything about defense and made him your coordinator.
Give me all of your playmakers and talent, and I'm not going to give them the best opportunity to succeed. That's basically what the Eagles have made
you took
a conscious
offensive
decision.
Line coach and made him the defensive coordinator.
Right. Right, you know, so it's all of that stuff. I think is combined to get
that
Philadelphia
said, they've been
in this,
every game.
But it's all this stuff is combined to get them in this mess that they're in, and the talent has them in every game. But you turn the ball over the way they do, and then you make the mistakes on defense the way they have, and you find a way to lose those games. So there's a big difference there. You know, you have talent. And I don't think anybody would deny that this is a very talented football team
everywhere,
but I'm just not sure that they have the right pieces in place. And if you want to put it all on the offensive line coach as a defensive coordinator, I don't think you're wrong. I wouldn't necessarily argue with you.
I'm just saying. Bad decision.
No? I agree. Carl is next up on the email list here. I think the running game is struggling because of the passing game. The type of passing attack that the Patriots run allows a good defense to stack the line of scrimmage, so when the Patriots run, there are already six or seven guys at the line ready to either crowd the middle or stuff the run. If the Patriots want to open up the running game, they need to open up the passing game by taking some shots downfield. My prediction is Patriots 28, Eagles 24, you guys rock, and the Jets blow.
Okay, I agree with that.
Jets are in trouble, by the way, again, in their game against Buffalo. Antonio Cromartie fumbled a punt. How many games have they mishandled a punt, by the way?
At least two.
The Eagles threw a bomb to Brad Smith the next play, and he and Cromartie got tangled up. Ball got knocked in the air, and Brad Smith knocked it out of Cromartie's hands up in the air and caught it for a 35-yard touchdown. And
Schmitty.
They're in a 21-21 tie heading to the fourth quarter, I believe.
Yes, 104 to play in the third. Two,
so we're not exactly heading to the fourth quarter then. Yeah.
Well, it's heading towards the fourth quarter.
But they do not look like they're going to be a part of the postseason run.
Which
this year? The Jets.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they just have. I don't think everybody keeps waiting for them to sort of ratchet it up a little bit, and I don't think it's there. Whatever it is, I don't think it's there this year.
And part of the problem is this was supposed to be the year they didn't do what they've had to do the last 2 years and back their way in or get hot to get into the playoffs. The whole plan was somebody else help us out so we can win the division. We can play home playoff games. We can go to and win a Super Bowl. You got no chance of that now. Now you're just fighting, clawing, trying to get into the postseason and go with the whole same recipe of, well, we'll get hot in the postseason and go to the AFC title game. I just think the bottom line is very simple. Mark Sanchez, not that good. Brian Schottenheimer, not that good. And defensively, they're not good enough to carry the football team.
Richard in Sweden likes Gronkowski to have three touchdowns there in a 31-7 win.
It certainly would fall in line with his weekly career days.
But I read that specifically because another one from Sweden. Two Swedens and a Denmark.
They love us over there.
Schlugen, flugen, schlugen. And Eurasia and Norway.
And it's big. The Swedish Chef is back, right? The Muppets are back on... they have a movie out, don't they? I've seen a lot of commercials with Fozzie Bear.
There is a Muppet movie out, yeah.
See? So that's relevant.
I think my kids might be going to see it today.
Yeah,
either that or Happy Feet 2.
Happy Feet. Move your feet.
There was a... last I knew, there was a little bit of a controversy between Will and TJ as to who was going to get to pick the movie.
Why don't you just let them go to separate theaters?
Yeah, that'll work.
Sure, Jerry Sandusky will watch him in one of the
theaters. Oh, how could you say that? How could you
He's
say
in
that?
Jail.
Is he?
I don't know. Is he?
Not the last I heard.
Oh, I don't think he's allowed to leave the state.
They gave him like 10 cents bail. God, you just really upset my whole apple cart there.
I didn't get the chance to ask him because you cut him off quickly.
Because he said he only had 5 minutes.
So he really is the Fred Kirsch. Got a lot to do. A lot going on.
I got a lot going
on.
Yeah, he had to go. Yeah, never mind.
But I wanted to ask him if he thought, as a guy who sees him all the time, that maybe McCoy was the best back in football or one of the two best backs in football. Because I don't think you hear a lot about McCoy. He's already in that phase where probably next year you'll hear that he's one of the best backs in football after this season. But I think he might be best all-around running back in football. He's dynamic. He catches the ball, puts up a lot of yards, puts up a lot of receptions, and he has those runs where start right, and all of a sudden he's running it back left for a 40-yard gain on the backside. I think he's a dynamic athlete that I think if they're going to win, he's going to have a huge day.
Well, if they win, that's got to be the reason. And that's why, you know, like we had an emailer earlier who was talking about, or maybe a phone call, about how Bill takes away the best thing and DeSean Jackson won't get deep. Well, to me, the thing that you take away from this game is LeSean McCoy.
DeSean Jackson has been a Jag this year.
But even if he weren't.
He's a dangerous Jag, but he's been just a guy.
He may make a play or two, but if you allow LeSean McCoy to do what he can do at his best, you're going to lose because he's going to be able to control the game. DeSean Jackson, at the best for Philadelphia, makes a big play or two, right? So I don't see the safeties getting beat deep because I think right now, when that's the thing about you play with backups and you play overly cautious, you keep everything in front of you. But I think LeSean McCoy has got to be the focus of that front seven, and taking him away requires a lot of discipline, and I think the Patriots will show that today. I'd be surprised to see him have one of those, 5-6 yards per carry kind of games with 120 yards rushing, because that's what he's been doing. He doesn't take him a lot of carry. He's not a 25-30 carry guy.
He's an athlete. He's a game changer.
He'll get between 10 and 15 carries, but still find a way to get 100 yards. Do you think that will happen today? Because I don't think he'll do that. I think he's that good.
He scares me because I'm think so he's afraid of the tackling on this team. I think the safeties are questionable tacklers. I don't love the cornerback situation. I don't love the linebacker situation. I think it's certainly possible. Uh-oh, Jimmy was involved in giving up that long touchdown to Percy Harvin. But that's a topic for a different day. The tackling
bit of
on
an up and down day for James
me.
Sanders.
Yes, I believe he may have been on the bad end of a long touchdown just now, especially since Mike Giardi tweeted, if anybody can explain to me what James Sanders was doing on that play, have at it. I'd still take him.
Let's see. Let's get back to the emails here quickly before we head to another break. Tim is up next. And let's see.
Timmy, right?
He has confidence that the Patriots will win today. But what are our thoughts about how well they will be able to perform defensively in the postseason with all the injuries and substitutions being made? What do you think, Andy?
What? I wasn't listening.
Okay. Basically, the question is, what are your feelings, not so much today, but moving forward in the playoffs, defensively, how do you think this team will perform with all of these substitutions slash lineup
changes? Well, I need to know who's playing first. I mean, are they going to get Spikes back? Are they going to get McCourty back? Are they going to get Chung back? I would assume they will, right?
I would assume.
You're probably going to get Fletcher back. You'd be on IR if you weren't coming back.
I would agree.
I have no idea.
I would agree. The chances
are Chung
and McCourty.
Short answer is, I don't know what the defense will look like. Are they better with those guys? Is there some weird benefit of not having those guys? We've talked about it a lot in recent weeks. Mayo went out, they got better for a little while. Then he came back, and now they're better again. And McCourty was out there a couple weeks ago. They went right down the field, throwing at him every play. He leaves the game. The pass defense looked a little bit better. I don't know. I mean, those are some of your best players, theoretically, so you should be better with them. Lord only knows where this defense goes. All I can tell you is, I've seen improvement that I didn't see in the first month of the season,
and
that's a benefit.
For me, it's all about opponent. It's all about opponent for me. And, you play a team that can move the football, I think they'll move the football, regardless if those guys are in the lineup or not. To me, it's a lot less about the personnel the Patriots have healthy.
Well, then they're not going anywhere.
To me.
If they're not going to get better on defense and continue to improve, they're not going anywhere.
Well,
they're not good enough to win in the postseason right now.
I didn't say I'm right. I just said that's my feeling.
No, I know. You're never right.
I just said that was my feeling. But I think there's cherry picking on who you play.
What you're saying is such a commentary on the talent. I mean, you're saying Chung is irrelevant.
But
McCourty is irrelevant.
I would say that probably about virtually any AFC team. I just don't think the AFC is very good this year.
No, but you'd say that about any team that was without, say, four young starters.
I think Spikes is irrelevant. I think McCourty and Chung are not irrelevant. They're starters. They need to be out there.
So theoretically, you're going to be better.
They need to be out there.
Even though you were worse when they were out there.
But I would say that they were out there against Pittsburgh and.
Right, but that's,
I don't have faith in
that's
them
my
stopping
question.
Them, whether they're out there or not.
They're either not that good, which may be a possibility, because you were worse when they were out there. That's a fact, not an opinion. Now, I don't know whether it's circumstantial, whether it's anything about, who knows? Now, the Spikes I don't agree with you on, because I thought he was playing very good football when he got hurt.
Yeah, he made a couple of plays.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Mayo to make those.
Oh, he's playing better than Mayo now.
Those two games, yes. Better games than I've ever seen from Jerod Mayo. Sorry, he had one good game last year. Was it Buffalo? In Buffalo, he had a good game. Few and far between from your all-pro linebacker.
Yeah, listen,
I've never seen him as active at or behind the line of scrimmage as Spikes has been over that three-game stretch.
Yeah, I don't think as much of Spikes as you do, I guess. But
and you apparently think a lot more of mayo.
No, not really. I think we have a very similar feeling toward mayo.
Because I've literally never seen him make impact plays, ever. Shooting gaps and making plays like Spikes has.
He made a third and inches stop the other night.
Barely.
What difference is it? I mean, they only needed barely an inch to get.
Because when you make a quote-unquote impact play by catching a guy, I don't really put it in the same
impact. Well, so now we're qualifying,
yes.
You know, impact plays.
I like guys to shoot their gaps with shoulders and make impact plays.
Do we
hit people, not catch people.
Do we eliminate?
He catches a lot of people. I don't like catching.
Do we eliminate Spikes' play?
Are you going to sulk for another half hour?
I've been trying to say the same sentence for 5 minutes.
Wow, you're the most sensitive person I've ever done a radio show with.
The sensitive part is...
You have to shut up.
The sensitive part is that it seems like if someone has a disagreeing opinion, it tends to bring out a lot more of those rapid-fire responses from you.
You say you don't care about the talent.
I don't know. I feel exactly the same way you do about Mayo. But I don't understand how you can eliminate a play that he made because he barely made it. Brandon Spikes completely fell on a shovel pass on the goal line, and that was considered one of his biggest plays of the year.
But
even Bill said he kind of fell into that.
Right. Well, I would just like Mayo to fall into those.
He barely made
it.
Just like
I'd love to see Mayo fall into those where he's, you know, in the opponent's backfield ever.
But do you think that he's...
Because he's supposed to be more... He's faster, right, than Spikes. So theoretically...
I just think he's 1,000 times better player than Spikes. And I think he's been a better player than Spikes.
I don't see it.
I think to me, Spikes it's all about healthy expectations. That's why I'm a little disappointed in Mayo. I expect a lot more out of him than Spikes.
Well, one's a second-round pick, one's a first-round pick.
Yeah, but that's why I feel disappointed a little bit in Spikes, in Mayo's play, is because I expect a lot more from him.
I think when Spikes has played, and that's the problem, he's never put together 7 games in a row. It's always, he's out for this, he's out for that. To me, when he's played, we've seen him at times make a couple plays. I would like to see what he could do if he got into the swing of things and actually played a season. Give me 16 games. Now, some people will probably say the same thing with Mayo. Oh, these knee injuries, they slow him. Well, every time he's supposedly at full health, I've still yet to see a true all, and I said it to you again. I told people, watch the 49ers game. I watched 5 minutes of it, and I saw Patrick Willis making plays I've never seen Mayo make. And I think Brandon Spikes has been closer to making those plays.
That's the only part of it that
I've never seen Gerard Mayo make a big hit, ever.
See, I've seen Gerard Mayo make big hits.
Give me an example.
The Buffalo game that you just brought up, he made a couple of big hits.
His best game by far of his career.
But give me the examples of Brandon Spikes, and you can't go more than one hand.
The one a couple weeks ago where people wanted to call it.
Exactly. What else?
But wait a minute. One guy has probably played 15 games as a Patriot, and the other guy has played basically 4 full seasons?
This is not a pro.
There's a bigger sampling there.
This is not a pro Mayo, because I don't think there have been a ton of big plays by Mayo, but I think that we're taking one or two big plays from Spikes, and we're making more out of them than there are.
But they come in shorter spans. He was hurt, got back, played okay, not as well as Fred wanted to make him out to be, then had 2 very good games. And then got hurt again. So one is led to believe, well, maybe if he could stay on the field, he could turn good games into regular games.
All right, I see what you're saying. You're saying that the potential was there for more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas I've given
now
up
I'm
on
okay
potential
with,
for Mayo.
Now I'm okay with
it. Because he plays every week and does nothing.
Because I'm just going by what has happened, and I didn't see much more from Spikes than what you're talking about.
Well, I have.
I've seen 2 games
that
I would say he made impact plays.
Spikes,
and
the last
only
two
one
games,
of them I thought was really good plays on his part.
I would compare Spike's last 2 games to the Buffalo game for Mayo.
But
the difference is he had 2 of them in less playing time, whereas it's year 4 of an all-pro linebacker, and I'm saying, yeah, he was good in that game in Buffalo. Well, that's great.
But you don't think that Mayo, over the long haul, is a much more consistent, steady player, even when he's not making these impact plays?
Far more consistent.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
I think he consistently is irrelevant,
but consistent.
So all
of a sudden he blows up a tight end and stops him short of the first down. Yeah, that's great, but... What about the 10 plays where he doesn't have any idea where he's supposed to be?
Who?
Spikes.
Oh,
in the passing game especially.
Then you get into, do you want Otis Smith, who made plays and gave up plays, or do I want the guy who, sure, he has 175 tackles, 7 yards downfield? I don't care. I think both are equally irrelevant.
One of the greatest non-catchers you'll ever see, by the way, by Stevie Johnson just now.
I didn't see it.
Take a look at it over my shoulder if they play the replay. But down the sideline, this is a good argument because it's sparking some interest here. I want to get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. I want to get to some emails. I see Mayo in the subject line from Anthony in Naples. So
uh-oh, Anthony's going
to
be mad.
Let's take our last break, reset, and we'll get to those calls when we get back.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What? If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Think you know more about the Patriots than Paul Perillo?
I don't know anything.
Try him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
I know nothing about anything.
Now, back to the man who knows it all.
We have the best listeners.
Paul Perillo.
I thought that was Meek. The man who knows it all?
Yes.
Yes. It is, but what are you going to do?
By the way, Eric Ferenz quickly jumped to my defense on Twitter.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He didn't say anything that I disagree with.
No, not with you. I don't care about arguing with you.
Oh, okay.
Some idiot on Twitter, Megatran, says, Jumbo Heart being an idiot again because I, you know, argued about Mayo, God forbid, and Ferenz backed me up. Most overrated player of the Belichick era.
Yeah.
Might be defensive player. I don't know.
Yeah, now the whole, this is not a, my argument with you about this Spikes thing was more anti-Spikes than it was pro-Mayo.
Yeah, you hate him.
No, I just think that he, once in a while he makes a big hit and everybody gets all excited, but they take, you know, Mayo's strength is his consistency. I don't think he's a dynamic playmaker. I agree 1,000% with you, and I have since virtually day one.
I hate consistency.
But Spikes is not a consistent player, and I
feel like we've never found out. That's the only thing. I just feel like he's never been comfortable, never been healthy. There's always been something with him that we never get a full season and find out what he is if he could play every week, especially as a guy who supposedly gets by on instincts. And I think if you're a player like that, you have to play because your instincts don't get honed in practice watching film. Your instincts get honed being on the field, shooting gaps, getting a feel for the game speed and reactions. I don't know.
Well, our little Mayo.
I'm with Eric Ferenz.
I'm with Eric Ferenz on that comment. Absolutely. I'm with also the Ace Ticket Hotline because our little Spikes Mayo talk has sparked some interest here. Anthony in Naples, who I'm sure has some negativity to throw here on the fire.
He wants to fire somebody.
Guys, I'm actually watching the Jets game, and I hear you guys talking in the background because I have my iPhone next to my ear, you know, just so I'm able to do both at one time. So, and all of a sudden the Mayo thing comes up, and, you know, I'm all ears. And it's like, you know, I've made my feelings, you know, I put my feelings out about Mayo. As in, like, the whole thing is that he's a first-round top-10 pick. And that's what's frustrating. But here's another thing, though, where I feel like I've truly given up on Mayo. As in being that dynamic playmaker, because you know how they say, you know, if he bites as a puppy, he's going to bite as a dog, and that's the problem with Mayo. He's not aggressive enough. He's a nice player. You know what I mean? Yes, is he consistent? He does his job. He does what he's told, and that's nice and all. But you know what, dude? You need to be aggressive as a linebacker, because I'll just point out there's a particular play, and it was against the Chiefs, okay, and. His first, pretty much, I'm just going to generalize what the play was. But basically, it was a slant in the middle, okay? And I think, I want to say it was, Ninkovich was on coverage, and along with another safety. And you could tell clearly that they were going to get the receiver that completed the ball, okay? You see Mayo running up along with that receiver, but his first instinct is not, saying, hey, you know what, my guys have this guy, I'm going to go up there and rip the ball out. No, you know what he does? He goes back to, well, Bill probably tells me to contain. So he runs further up the field to make sure he turns around just in case if that guy gets loose so he's there to make the tackle. And that's my biggest problem. He's not aggressive. You know what I mean? It was clear as day that Ninkovic and the safety were going to get that guy. You go up there as the middle linebacker and you try to punch that ball out. You try to be aggressive. Make a freaking play. He doesn't have that instinct.
I agree. And he's not explosive. For a guy who's athletically gifted, how come you don't get, I don't get mad when you talk over me.
I go totally with that. And you do, by the way.
Actually, I don't. I just go on with the show.
Very often you get upset about it. Matter of fact, you get mad at Fred for it, too.
I'm just trying to figure out, do you disagree, Paul, or do you agree?
No, I'm with Andy on Mayo. I really am. I know that this sort of turned into something on the side, but I am very disappointed in Mayo's playmaking ability or lack thereof. To me, from the day he got here, he's been the same guy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know how I have told you guys, I'm like, well, if he was a second-round pick, towards the beginning of the second round, I'd be fine with him. But now, as I get further and further into this, I'm like, he's looking more like third-round talent in my mind. You know? And that's what makes it even more disgusting. And, the big question in my mind, I think he is going into his fifth year, correct? And that's probably the last year, contract year?
Next year is his last year.
That's what I mean. He's going into his fifth year now.
Yep.
Next year.
Wait till they give him $10 million and you think he's...
But that's my big question. It's like, what are they going to do?
They'll re-sign him because Bill loves him.
I guess, yes. He's Gerard Mayo. I mean, Mayo. Gerard Belichick, whatever they call him.
Yep.
You know, it's just... And here's the thing. Why Spice is so appealing is because he's the complete opposite. Does he do everything he's told? No, and that's why he's in Bill's doghouse every once in a while. But you know what, damn it, he's a football player.
Yep.
And you know, in the flashes that you see, he's aggressive. And especially, too, when you think about it, what was his knock in college? He was slow, you know what I mean? He ran like a 5, I think, in a 40, right?
Yep.
So, and that was his knock. But what did he do to make that up? He's aggressive. You know, he kind of had the instincts to do what he needed to do. And that's, I think, why people like Spike. It's just like, besides the name, he's just the flashes that you see him. He looks like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's the anti-Mayo. That may be part of it. Is they're thirsting for Mayo to make a play, and here comes this other guy who actually pops up every once in a while.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's like, man, I just don't get it, dude. It's just like, make a freaking play.
I just don't get Spikes. I don't get the infatuation with Spikes. That's what we disagree on.
But that's what I'm trying to explain to you, Paul. I think it's the thing where he's a second-round pick. You know what I mean? Came from the Florida program.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you look into his Florida career, he was pretty darn good. You know, he made plays.
Good. He was great. I believe he was a two-time All-American.
If he did what he did at Florida, I'd be a lot higher on him.
I know. He's just gotten hurt. And you know what? Okay. He has that benefit of the doubt. But it's just, like I said, I guess it's because the lack of production with Mayo, which we're turning into somebody else. Darn it. You know, it's, even Fletcher is more on my mind, as in, I would love to see him in there.
All right, enough. Now Dane Fletcher's better than Gerard Mayo. I had enough of that one.
I think he shows up more than Mayo, too.
Salt is in Orlando. This is something I want to definitely tab for PFW in progress. Salt, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Hello? I called for something else, but you were talking about Mayo, and it made me think that me and Basil were talking about Gerard Mayo and how he plays and stuff like that, and I did some looking into some numbers, and this was a while ago, but he's on pace to be Ted Johnson. If he plays around the same amount of games Ted Johnson plays, his tackles will probably pretty much be there. His sacks, his forced fumbles, his fumble recoveries, he might have a little more pass deflections, but he pretty much is Ted Johnson. He's the black Ted Johnson.
Okay. That's fine. What is Spikes?
Did you pick, you know, Ted Johnson 8 overall or whatever he was?
No, I am not in favor of Gerard Mayo at 10 overall. He has not been a 10th overall linebacker.
Yeah.
This is the part that I am in lockstep with Andy on. I totally agree with that. But I'll take a steady linebacker over one who makes a flashy play every once in a while, but then makes 8 mistakes in
Can
between.
Can I ask you an honest question, Paul?
Yep.
Do you not like Spikes because Spikes likes Tebow?
Very well done, Saul. Yeah. I got to move it along, though, because we got a bunch of calls here lined up.
But
I hear you on Tebow, my friend. I hear you. John in L.A., real quick. How are you doing?
Hey, good. I was just going to say, I think that we're all going to fall in love, back in love with Jerod Mayo, if we finally do manage to draft a really great playmaking linebacker. All of a sudden, I mean, I don't think it's a given, but it's not far-fetched to think all of a sudden a year or two, we're going to be like, wow, we've got Mayo and Spikes has developed, and now we've got this Robert Quinn-ish kind of guy. And I think some of the reason that Mayo maybe doesn't make the plays is that he is so concentrating on being steady and the smart one and making sure everyone's doing their thing. Hopefully he, because I don't think he's not trying to make plays. That's actually sort of worrisome. And because, you know, he's trying to, but I don't know, maybe his other responsibilities take him away from that sometimes. He has to be more conservative.
Well, he blames it on the scheme. He has always said, you know, I just do what they ask me to do. He is, because I've asked him a number of times, do you want to make big plays? Do you get frustrated? You never make big plays. It's always the same answer. I do what they ask me to do. I play within the scheme.
Right, and he's not, you know, not the cherry pick in terms of the draft stuff, but we've talked about this before with Darrell Revis. If we had said, okay, we're going to give up a second or a third to jump up and get Patrick Willis, which we could have, it should be nice to have this defense with Darrell Revis and Patrick Willis. Those
sure.
are the kinds of guys you move up for, and that's value, too.
Ed Reed, too?
I'm all for it. I'm all for it, yeah. They need some playmakers. Yeah, they need some playmakers on defense. It's kind of what the thing that Andy and I touched on in the last segment about how you feel going forward and whether or not McCourty and Chung. I thought McCourty was a playmaker. This season he has not been. So we'll have to see where the real Devin McCourty is. At some point it'll even out a little bit. But, yeah, they need some talent on that side of the ball, no question.
All right, let's go. Let's reverse jinx win today.
All right, John. Thanks. Let's head out to the link and get Eric from the Lincoln Financial Field press box before we wrap this puppy up. Eric, how you doing?
Fellas, it's balmy down here. I'm guessing it's the same up there in New England?
Yeah, it's been warm. Been hot in this studio. Andy and I just went at it a little bit.
A lot of hot air in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much. My hands are freezing.
Well, it's a great day for football down here, guys.
Woo!
Field looks in great shape. The weather's perfect. Let's kick this thing off. Come on.
Okay, so give us your expert trainer's view on Asamoah. Healthy enough to be a positive or a negative for the Eagles' defense?
Ooh, the way he looked in pregame, I think it'd be a negative. He didn't look like he was exploding very well. He wasn't planting or cutting with much authority. Looked like he was being very ginger with it. And, you know, maybe he was just saving himself, didn't want to overexert. But he did enough, obviously, to convince the training staff that he could go. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try to either maybe get Gronkowski or match up on him and try to throw his way earlier to test out just how stable that knee is going to be throughout the afternoon.
Just for comparison's sake, there was a lot of talk of Patrick Chung's warm-up. I guess it was 3 weeks ago now. Compare the two. Who looked – was he at least better than Chung when the Patriots decided to make him inactive and then inactive the next 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah, I would say he definitely had a little bit he looked a little bit more fluid than Chung did. He wasn't really wincing the way Chung did when he came out for his warm-ups in MetLife Stadium. So maybe that's a little bit of an encouraging sign for the Eagles. And obviously the fact that he is able to suit up is, you know, it's a testament to that. But I'm still not sure if he's really healthy enough to be out here and whether or not that could be a detriment to the Eagles.
So did Vince Young hit you with a pass in pregame warm-ups by any chance?
No, thankfully, I'm a little too high up even for his...
Oh, I think you are underrating his wildness.
Did he throw any over those mountains?
No, I'm interested to see how he plays in this game today because, you know, they've faced Vince Young before when he was with the Titans. But that, you know, that was a much better defense back then. And, you know, he might have some opportunities today, as errant as some of his throws are. Because New England is still banged up in the secondary, you know, going out there with a lot of second and third string guys. So I'm interested to see how he performs.
Okay, so I can't count on my own eyeballs for my eyeball test. I want eyeball test evaluations of two dynamic playmakers on the Eagles offense, DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy in pregame warmups. Which guy looked like a freakish talent?
Well, I mean, obviously you've seen what Jackson can do.
My son? Yeah.
I'm impressed with McCoy. His ability to hit the hole, make cuts, ability coming out of the backfield. He looked pretty sharp in pregame warmups. Thing I tend to notice with wide receivers, star wide receivers that we've faced this year, is that they don't tend to do a whole lot in pregame warmups to show the flash that they do in games. And I think Jackson kind of falls into that category today. I don't know whether they're trying to just save themselves for game time or what it is, but McCoy stood out to me a little bit more than Jackson did in warmups.
Real quick, Eric, is any issues with the turf there? We had a couple of people asking about the turf in Philadelphia.
I'm looking at it right now, and I haven't seen any issues with it. It actually looks in pretty great condition. There are obviously some spots that look like they've been resodded because the color scheme is a lot different, especially down here in our red zone. If you're looking at the television to the right of the 50-yard line, but it doesn't look like
right to left on your radio dial.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
but it doesn't look like anything's being torn up or that people were slipping in warm-ups or anything. I mean, it seems okay. It seems like it's taking whatever, I don't know how soon they restarted this, but there's clearly been some work in the field, but it doesn't seem to be an issue, at least right now.
All right, Eric, we're going to let you go. Let's see, anything else real quick before we let him go? Andy, you got anything? No?
No, I'm good.
If you want it just really quickly, Taylor Price and Julian Edelman got a lot of reps in pregame warm-ups, obviously, with Ocho Cinco not going. They sort of shared that load, coming in after Welker and Branch in the warm-up lines and in the team drills. And on the other side of the ball, Nico Kudavidi's got a lot of run at middle linebacker, obviously, without the Fletcher and Spikes availability. And Tarkinian, the rookie going on IR, perhaps an opportunity we're going to see a lot more of him on defense than we probably would have.
Did he look suave?
Suave. That's suave.
One last question. Just wanted to clarify. Edelman was taking reps on offense, right? He's not a full-time defensive player now.
Correct.
Some people believe he's already bombed out as a receiver and his future is
what
as
people,
a
Andy?
The crap sheet.
All right, Eric. Safe travels. We'll see you when you get back.
Sounds good, guys.
Some people. And I'd be remiss if I didn't read Brooklyn Matt's email, because usually he likes to take shots at you.
Why don't we just miss his email?
Myself being a direct descendant of the Pilgrims.
Of course you are. You're a fraud. Everything you say is a lie. You make it, oh my God, I'm in the music industry. I'm kind of a big deal, and I date Italian supermodels. But you're a loser who was waiting to meet Eric in line in New York. Proceed.
And only the second generation of the family lineage ever to be born off of Cape Cod. I consider myself the source on all things Thanksgiving.
No, you just consider yourself the source on all things. Go ahead.
What a great catch by Plax. With this in mind, Andy, you could take that lemon meringue pie in the face, Three Stooges style. Add in
take
an extra smear for not knowing
face.
How sherry is spelled, too. Now, Paul, give me the $100 for email or the freaking week.
Nope.
No can do.
Because you're not that good.
I told you, don't beg. Don't beg, and I'm glad that's an interesting little segue because we have reached that time.
And we're going to show that personal feelings don't get in the way.
Absolutely, because it's time now for the Auto Trader Emailer of the Week, brought to you, of course, by AutoTrader.com. This week's winner of a $100 gift card to the Patriots Pro Shop, courtesy of AutoTrader.com, is William Berry, who took shot after shot after shot at me.
As he should.
And I'm telling you that some of them made me laugh, so I have a good sense of humor. And
some of them made him cry.
Some of them made me cry myself to sleep on my tiny little pillow. But I will read this one real quick. He says he has two quasi-football questions. He sent in a lot of emails today. This is the one I'm going with. Two quasi-football questions before the game, related to PFW and progress foolishness, sort of, and one related to Belichick. One, in Belichick's conference call post-KC, he was asked about Gronkowski's spikes. He referred to them as, quote, drilling for oil. Does Fred Kirsch claim credit for putting that phrase in Belichick's head? Two, the Cowboys cheerleader hit by Jason Witten had two innocuous tweets about it. The Cowboys made her delete her Twitter account. Would that happen if Gronkowski knocked over a Patriots cheerleader?
Better knocked over than knocked up.
Wow.
What?
Okay. Well, it's
true.
A little risque for the email.
And
of the
yes,
week.
I think they would. They don't want cheerleaders to have, I think all teams don't want cheerleaders to represent the organization publicly in a personal way. They want them to be pretty faces and wear a uniform and entertain, but not be like Facebook pages and things like that. Poo-poo-pa-pa.
So, William Berry, you are this week's recipient of the $100 gift card to the Patriots Pro Shop, courtesy of AutoTrader.com. And did you know, William, that AutoTrader.com has brand spanking new cars? Well, you do now. Compare new cars and even special offers side by side so you can find the perfect deal on the one car that your head and heart agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace. Let's see. Any last words? You have to remind me about this spikes thing. So we could talk about it a little bit more in depth on PFW in progress.
Because it'd be more fun to talk about Anthony, if he starts playing again.
Well, Anthony brought up a good point, and I'm wondering if maybe that's what I'm missing is people are sort of, because, you know, like, it's the whole thing, like, he's missing time, but is this exactly what we were doing with Mayo in 09 when he missed all that time with the knee and then he wasn't really himself and we sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt, but this time around, he isn't getting the benefit of the doubt with the knee because we already saw it last year. He didn't really get much more explosiveness back. So maybe 2 years from now we'll be saying the same thing about spikes. Maybe it's my perception. You know, right now everybody's saying, well, we saw it with spikes, but he's just not in there consistently. It's my contention that in 2 years when you see it consistently and it's still not happening.
Well, yeah, you'll change your opinion.
Maybe that's what the opinion
is.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe
there's an extrapolation.
Maybe Anthony sort of elucidated it for me because maybe I missed it.
I just want to say that in consecutive sentences, I used extrapolation and Paul used elucidated. We don't need stinking Eric on this show. We're smart.
Now, there's good news or bad news for Patriots fans depending on if you are smart or stupid regarding the Jets game. The Jets just took the lead with a late touchdown. Now, there's still a minute left, so the game's not over. Matter of fact, Brad Smith still running with the football.
He got to about the 27.
28-24 with 54 seconds left, and Buffalo will have to go about 70 yards to win. Should you be rooting for the Jets? Now, forgetting your Jets hatred, because that supersedes all. I would root against the Jets no matter what. But should you be rooting? If you're a Patriots fan, you should be rooting for the Jets in this game, in my opinion, not the Bills. What
yes,
say you, Andy Hart?
I agree. You already swept the Jets, and you could get swept by the Bills.
You lose today, and the Bills win. You have a one-game lead, and they play you again with the ability to tie you and therefore beat you in the tiebreaker. So you should be rooting for the team that you swept in the regular season. That's the New York Jets.
Plus, a lot of people...
The New York Jets can't catch you in the division.
Early
can't.
In the year, considered Buffalo dangerous because they were the unknown. And if you give them life, they continue to be the unknown.
Showing what side that he's on, Kevin Collins is... breathlessly calling for a timeout as Buffalo completes a pass. He's a stupid Patriots fan who would rather have the Jets lose than have something good for the Patriots happen.
I don't think you need Patriots fan on the end of that. I think he's a stupid.
He's a stupid head. But seriously, I'm more concerned about what's best for the Patriots. Kevin's more concerned about what's bad for New York.
I'll tell you what's best for the Patriots. To go down to Philly and win today and not allow Vince Young to embarrass you with his ugly-ass play.
Could not
stop LeSean McCoy.
See?
Put up a couple plays and win. Come home.
We've
happy.
Come together. We've
Whoa,
come together know. At the I end know. Of the at the end of the program. And as you know, Andy, the end of the Patriots pregame social is never the end of the day.
You'll roll right into
curse words, baby.
Where you actually, on occasion, hear and read some curse words.
Bill's moving rather swiftly into Jets territory, by the way. So that game is not over. But make sure you head over to Patriots.com and check out the in-game live blogging of one Fred Kirsch on Kirsch Words. Congratulations to William Berry for being this week's AutoTrader.com Email of the Week. A thank you to Dave Spadaro for PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Giving us 2 minutes of his precious time.
For giving us a little bit of a button hook there and sort of telling us that the Patriots had no chance of losing this game and then predicting the Eagles to win it.
Because he's Fred Kirsch. He's a homer upon all homers.
Absolutely so. Next week, we have a rarity here on the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. We'll have a 1 o'clock start
Woo-hoo!
Here at Gillette Stadium against the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll be here...
breakfast
what?
Time tailgating brunch.
What does that make 10:45?
Sure.
That we do? Right? 10:45 next week? I'm getting nothing from Kevin.
Flashing
anyway,
nothing.
Get back
There's
over to that Facebook page. Check out those polls if you want to keep participating in those.
And keep hitting up Twitter. Just because we're done, you can keep using the PPGS and continue to interact. This global tailgate party continues right on through the game because I don't know if you know, none of us actually have seats at the game.
And don't forget curse words. We'll see you next week.
This has been the JetBlue Patriots pregame social. live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Sanchez awaiting the snap. He's got it. Drops back. Stands at the goal line. Looks, fires over the middle. Intercepted at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown. Patriots, Rob Ninkovich.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Fourth and goal. Patriot 1 yard line. I formation behind Rivers. Hand off in the backfield comes to Tolbert. He is hit and stopped. Patriots defense holds. Gerard Mayo.
We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the JetBlue Patriots pregame social.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.